All right, hey everybody, welcome to a new episode of Pillowfort Pub. It's episode 5, I believe. My name is Anime Flux. I am joined, as always, by Hizact.
Hello.
And we're joined by special guest today, Delicious Orange.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah. So everybody, just kind of bear with us a little bit. Hizzy, you want to tell them what's up?
Yeah, we had some technical difficulties when we first recorded this episode yesterday, where Orange lost the first half of his recording.
Oh, wow, under the bus immediately.
So we're going to just try to re-record the first half of this podcast and then do our best to sync it up. So apologies in advance if there's any kind of weird transitioning around the halfway mark here.
Yeah, I'll make it up to you, sorry about that.
Don't worry.
Ooh.
Stuff happens. So... Delicious Orange is obviously an artist. It does both safe for work and not safe for work, as well as blurring the line in between the two with tasteful stuff as well. Orange, I know you got a whole bunch of projects going on in the background, so why don't you tell us about a few of those?
All right. Well, the one that's currently going on and is my main focus at the moment is there is a Pokini Patreon that is all about ladies in gratuitously wonderful swimwear and their monster friends.
Sounds awesome. Monster friends as in tentacles and so forth?
Various types of cute and cuddly creatures, yes.
Loosely based on probably a pretty popular fandom.
Yeah, if you happen to know another series that happens to have lots of monsters and cute girls in it, you may recognize what we're going for.
No, I have no idea what you're talking about. I've never heard of anything like that. Just kidding. Anyway.
But in addition to that, I'm also working on some game development stuff. You're familiar with it because we tabled together at Anime Weekend Atlanta a while back, and I was selling a physical copy of a game called Schoolgirls Love Tentacles, and I'm currently working on a digital version of that, so... quite an adventure trying to learn all about game development and how to actually program stuff, but it's turning out pretty nicely so far, so I'm excited to share more about that as I continue to work towards making it happen.
Definitely. And with Schoolgirls Love Tentacles, as you said, there's a physical version and you're working on the digital. I own the physical version and it's gorgeous. I know it's a conglomeration of artists, it's not just one person. Do you want to let the listeners know like a little bit about the game? Like, what is it?
Yeah, it's pretty simple. It's a party game for up to 4 people. You can all get together and you take on the role of a tentacle monster that is just transferred to a new school, and you have to make friends with all the people that are currently there.
Is it a porn game?
It's not got any adult content in it. It's some body fun, and there's some suggestive stuff obviously going on, but there's no explicit adult stuff. You're not going to see any, you know, poonannies and hoo-haws going on here.
Okay.
Sorry.
And the ultimate goal is to have the schoolgirl with the most amount of friends, or is it the other way around? Have the tentacle.
You want to be a tentacle monster, and you're trying to make make as many people as happy as possible. And the more ladies you manage to make happy, the better you are at the school.
I love that premise so much. Oh, man. And again, very colorful, very great artwork all around. Yeah. And a very cool premise.
We've been having a lot of fun. It was really quite amazing to me. I just started the project with just by myself. And then other folks got interested in it. So it kind of turned into this omnibus of all these folks who love cute tentacle monsters and stuff like that just contributing together to one big project.
Who doesn't love a good tentacle on lady action pick? I don't know. It's good stuff.
Man, I used to draw that so much when I first started drawing hentai, all that I drew really for a while was tentacles, because I drew it once and I was really good at it. And then that's the only thing people would commission from me for the longest time. And I was like, oh, I'm so sick of tentacles.
I mean, there's a lot of different kinds. You know, you can vary the kind of tentacles up. But
I know.
Tentacles
but it just,
are like
it
jello.
Got bored.
There's always room for more.
Now,
I like it again now, though, because I haven't done it for so long. Anyway, sorry about that.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Orange, with the digital version, we talked about this... a while back, but I know you had an expansion in mind for the physical version of Schoolgirls Love Tentacles. Now, I believe you said something about that's going to be in the digital version that you're working on right now.
The digital version, it seems kind of short-sighted to design a digital version that is just the base game when you already have an expansion planned. So the expansion content is being built straight into the digital game so that we can kind of release the digital game with the expansion content, and we can make some physical copies of the expansion as well.
Awesome.
Cool, yeah, that sounds like a game that would be more fun to have in the physical version.
It is pretty fun to play. When you get folks, you know, especially at conventions and stuff, where you can get all your friends together and have a good time together in that sort of environment where everybody's keen on it. It's a great time.
Mm.
I need to convince my tabletop group to play that with me without rolling their eyes. Because they know what I do for a living, and half of them are like, yeah, and the other half of them are like, eh. So,
you need Jesus.
Pretty much. So, but yeah, and
if this
and
doesn't
again,
convince them of that, then nothing will.
Yeah, I know. and again, the expansion was also a collaboration between yourself and a whole bunch of artists, myself included.
Yeah, including one that's on this podcast. You know, you're in there too, Flux.
Yep. So pretty cool stuff. Looking forward to seeing that come through. I know you're involved in some other kind of game development as well at the moment. It's not card related, but it's something else.
In the process of learning how to make games, I've been learning a lot of different little techniques and programming stuff, and it became really surprisingly a lot easier to implement and create other games in the process. So I've been kind of following my dream of making games into the digital world. And so I've created some side projects that are me learning how to practice, you know, ostensibly practicing the programming skills that I've been learning, and applying them to games that are not just card games, but also action games. Particularly, there's a platforming game that I've managed to create a workable prototype of called Ashes of Babel that's all about parkouring up these potentially infinitely tall towers.
That sounds really cool. So, and this is going to be this doesn't have anything to do with hentai or anything. It's just a
regular little game. Just I wanted to make. So
cool.
There's lots of little ideas, and the more I work on stuff, the more I get inspired to try out new things and to think about new ideas and new games that could possibly come out of those ideas.
Yeah, totally.
I want to make a game.
Me too.
I don't have the patience.
Well, yeah.
Or the time. Or the idea. I have nothing.
Wait, you are working on that visual novel, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
There you go.
Yeah,
that's
I don't know if we
intro.
Talked about that. Yeah.
We Yeah, you should touch on that.
We may have lost that in the last
We did.
Recording.
It got lost. Yeah.
Ah, poo. All right, well, yeah.
Talk about it again, Hizzy.
Do it.
Well, I'm going to be doing the all the art for... Well, not all the art, but all the CG, I guess, scene art for the Trials in Tainted Space visual
tits.
Novel that they're creating. Yeah, tits.
By,
so you'll see my art in that.
That's a Phinoxo creation, I believe, right?
Phinoxo and others. But yeah, I think the company is officially like Phinoxo or something like that.
Okay.
Sweet. But that's also his name, too, so I don't know how it really works, but...
Well, people who know what the tits project is, and I believe he may have worked on Corruption of Champions, I don't know for sure, but they'll know who he is. Half of them are probably already look like in the know of that.
Oh,
but
yeah,
yeah. I know in particular, like, because I've seen a lot of your work on the visual novel thing you're doing, and your background game in particular has gone through the damn roof.
Flatterer.
Dude, I call it as I see it. Your backgrounds are fucking great. I'm just like, shit.
Thank you.
Makes me want to up my game.
Do it.
Yeah.
You did it so good, though, on that one you showed me earlier. Holy fuck.
What, today?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I don't know.
Fuck you, that was so good.
I'm proud of it. Like, I'm not gonna say, no, it's crap. Like, no, I really like it, but...
Landon saw it, he thought it was a photo.
Really?
He thought it was like a 3D rendering.
Well, that's
yeah.
Very
it was
flattering.
Really good. It was really
Thank
good,
you.
Man.
Thank
yeah.
you.
And that's a really good like one of the things that Patreon has really enabled me to do is to help work on my backgrounds a lot more. So it's fun to get a chance to actually work on backgrounds and other skills that I don't normally get to do as a pinup artist.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I saw your work on one of the Pokini pics, and you know the one I'm talking about, the one with the water out of the beach.
Yeah, the one that I basically stole that technique out of the Dragon's Crown art book. And they had a whole section on environmental art, and they showed like some of the process pictures, and I was like, "Ooh, that looks really cool! I'm gonna try and do that." So
nailed
I
it.
Came up. Oh yeah! It's just a fantastic, quick way to do beautiful, like dappled water.
And before anybody says anything about it and sneers, like that's what we artists do. We steal techniques all the fucking time.
Oh my god, everyone fucking all does it. Anyone the fucking who says time. They don't is a dirty liar.
Yeah, hell yeah, they are.
That's how you're going to learn. I mean, you look at other people's work and you try to reverse engineer how they did it and apply that to your own process. You know, and in the process you're going to discover techniques and ways to do that make it easier for you to do. You know, you're going to put your own spin on it as you try and learn it.
Yeah. Hizzy, you know that water brush that me and you and Ren were toying around with for a while? It's got like a wave, like an anime wavy kind of texture.
It's a tool preset, right? Not an actual brush?
No, it's a brush. One? No, it's just a brush.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
All right, well, it's kind of like cel-shaded water waves, basically. I don't know exactly how to describe it, but... anyway, I remember like 6 months ago I drew a picture, and without that brush I like hand drew a whole bunch of water like a swimming pool with that kind of cel-shaded anime texture to it, and I was like, god, this is so tedious, but it's gonna look really good when it's done and blah blah, blah. And it looked fine, and then, you know, 6 months later Ren's like, hey, check out this brush that me and Hizzy have, and I'm like, god fucking damn it. Why didn't I have this 6 months ago? This would have saved me so much. Is it the one
there's like multiple brushes in
it? Yes, yes.
Okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I've had that for a long time. It's nice too because it works with like tilt a little bit, and you know, you can just transform it and stuff. It's amazing. DeviantArt.
I tweaked it a little bit just for my own sanity because I had a few things that it couldn't do by default, but still, it helped out so much.
Dude,
so.
When Ren used it, oh my god, he rocked it. I can't even use it as well as he did in that one drawing. I was like, what the fuck?
I can't picture it, but I know that he did something crazy with it. I can't remember what it was. I know it's on a site, right?
Oh, I'm sure it is. It was just so good. I was like, god damn it.
Well, that's what you got to do. You got to take his art, and you got to put it up on your little inspiration board. And the next time you're working on stuff, you got to be like, all right, I'm going to do that. I'm going to figure out your secret.
I need like a cork board for that type of stuff because I have an expansive folder full of stuff that I like, techniques, poses, faces, but I never go in there. Yeah, I need to have that in my face all the time.
You need one of those one of those big CSI cork boards that are in the crime lab.
There's actually a really good program that I like to use called PureRef, and if you haven't tried it out, it's basically a virtual cork board where you can just put any images you want and it will manage all of them, and you can just, you know, keep it up on a second monitor and have all your reference images ready to go, and you can zoom in, zoom out, resize, rearrange everything.
Wow, that's cool. I think I used to have something like that.
It's called PureRef.
PureRef.
Is that a Photoshop extension?
No. It's just a extra, you know, program. It comes in freeware, and they also have a donation thing for it. So if you want to help support them, you can get some extra features.
There you go. Now, speaking of kind of plugging things, you had talked about the Pokini thing. That's the primary focus of your Patreon.
Yep. I'm trying to build that up because I feel like it's been pretty popular so far, and I'm thinking that if things go well, that might actually turn into something bigger. Who knows?
Yeah.
We may expand our scope.
Sweet. Folks want to find you and
folks
support you.
Find me. The easiest way is I'm Delicious Orange on practically everywhere that you find great pinup art. So if you're looking for Patreon, go to patreon.com/deliciousorange. You can also find me on Twitter at Delicious Orange. And for Tumblr, though, you've got to look for Delicious Orange Art. Because some joker got Delicious Orange before I did. And I will forever have a hit out on them.
Someone got Anime Flux on Twitter.
They sure as fuck did, so I had to have an underscore. Asshole.
Lame.
I mean, the guy that has the Anime Flux thing has never used it, and it's it, like, they've never done any tweets, any follows, like, there's no activity whatsoever for, like, the past, like, 5 years. So what I could probably go to Twitter and be like, give this to me, here's the proof that I am who I say I am, blah, 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 and they probably would, but then I'd have to change my Twitter handle, and I've already got business cards with it, so fuck it. It's not worth it at this point.
You just gotta embrace it.
Yeah.
You know.
I love you, underscore. You're my buddy. Anyway, so moving on, is before we go to the next little segment, is there anything else of yours, Orange, that you want to talk about? Any other projects?
Gee. There's a couple of things that are deep on the back burner that I'm working on, but I don't really think we need to get too into those until I have more stuff to show for it. But okay. So we'll just leave it at that, and we'll focus on the fun tentacles and ladies with monster friends.
All right, sounds good. So, talking about artistic endeavors and stuff like that, something that we're all familiar with is doing commissions. It's part of how we each earn our way. It's kind of our bread and butter, in addition to our other projects. So, kind of wanted to pick you guys' brains a little bit about the subject of commissions. More particularly, and Orange, we'll start with you. What do you kind of consider like the ideal situation / client for when you receive a commission request?
Personally, I really love when a commissioner comes at me and just has a idea for just something that they generally want, like a theme, like they just want me to do something they, you know, have an interest in, and they're totally free to just let me do whatever. They're just like, hey, I've got this OC, or I've got this, you know, thing that I'd like to see you do, and just do it. And that's really easy because it gives me a lot of freedom, and I can just do whatever the first thing that comes to mind is, or maybe even sometimes I've used that as an excuse to do something that is perhaps a little more in depth than I normally would for what I end up charging them, but it gives me a chance to pursue something that I've been interested in doing, and let me go at it in a more thorough way than I would otherwise get a chance to.
Sweet.
Alternatively, the folks who have a perfectly, you know, straightforward idea that they're just like, I want this in this pose with this, you know, setup, this situation. Yeah, they've got all the reference images all laid out, and they're just ready to go. That's really easy to do because it's just like, all right, you know exactly what you want, and I know exactly what you want, and we are meeting each other halfway. Bam, there you go.
Right. And
that's
so,
the easiest, but not usually the most fun.
When it's all super planned out, you mean?
Yeah, when they just have a specific idea, and they're just like, they can communicate it well. Because nothing is more frustrating than someone has a really specific idea but doesn't know how to tell you about it. And I'm sure you guys can sympathize with, periodically you get folks like that who have an idea, but they just don't know how to tell you about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happens pretty regularly.
It's like,
and then they make you change things,
like, sorry,
over
folks,
and over.
We're not mind readers. We wish we were, because that would make our job a lot easier.
Boy, would it. Hizzy, what about you? Ideal kind of things, about the same kind of situation as Orange, or what do you think?
I mean, you know me, I don't really take a lot of commissions. Oftentimes it's because I don't like the potential risk of dealing with a jerk or someone I don't like, or that I just don't work well with, and I guess it's kind of a curse and a blessing, because people get mad at me because I never take their commission, but at the same time, I don't need to, because I have like a nice roster of supporters who have been commissioning me for years, who are just always willing to get a commission for me if they want one or if I need one. And it's nice because you actually get to pick who you work with based on the past things, so you know this person will, like, be respectful of what you will and won't do. They know what you're good at. They know how much freedom to give you. I just I really don't like when people are super specific about the angle or the pose and stuff like that, but when it comes to other things like details like hair color, hairstyle, accessories, outfit, like all this stuff, it's nice when that stuff is really spelled out, because that's the stuff I hate going and changing a million times.
Yeah, definitely. And talking about what you just mentioned, like, you know, having kind of a reserve of clients that you've worked with before and enjoyed working with, like, that's definitely something to be said, because I think all professional artists kind of have a little list like that, maybe not written down, but at least a mental list of, you know, this person was great, would work with again, you know, versus other folks that maybe things didn't go as smoothly, and it's like, you know what, I'll finish this project, but after this, yeah, probably not gonna do this guy again.
It's just I don't open to new people very often, so on the one hand, I could possibly be missing out on someone who's really cool to work with.
Right.
And people are wanting to commission me, but I'm just like, no. So I feel bad about it.
See, I totally get what you're saying. I try to do, how do I put it? Every time I open commissions, of course I get a lot of the same people asking for something from me. And that's great. Most of them are really cool people. But I also try and make it a point that like one or two people at least in every batch is someone I've never worked with before. And I do that on purpose for the reason you just stated, because I don't want to potentially miss out on someone who could be awesome. And if they turn out not to be awesome, well, at least it was only one or two people out of like six or seven, you know?
True.
So I've met a lot of cool clients that way. So yeah.
Yeah, I should start doing that again.
Yeah, just one or two here or there, maybe. But I know you in particular, you don't open in like batches. You open like one slot or something, right?
Oh yeah, I have so much shit to do that I can't take on too much at once, because I usually end up taking forever to even get to people. And sometimes, this is another reason why I don't like taking on new people, because a lot of the people I work with now know that I have a lot of shit to do as far as art and other stuff, and they know it's going to be a little while before I can get to theirs. New people don't really know that, and they constantly are up my ass, and it's super annoying, and I'm just like, can you go away, please? Told you I'd get to it.
Okay.
Fucking relax, please.
Managing to find that balance between the scheduling and getting stuff done is definitely one of the biggest challenges.
Yeah, for real.
Yep. It's caused me on more than one occasion to want to jump into traffic just because of, you know, trying to juggle the whole workload and everything. But yeah, that's part of the deal, you know. And with, it seems to be the case with both of you, it sounds like that you pick and choose which commissions you take rather than first come, first serve. Is that
oh,
right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, me too. And honestly, as far as my response to the same question, you both kind of nailed everything I was going to say anyway. But yeah, big on artistic freedom. Really not big on people who have a super mega specific idea down to the very last detail. Like, her finger needs to be pointing towards, you know, 2 o'clock while, you know, whatever. Like, when it gets that hyper specific, then I'm like, you know what? I don't think I'm the person for you.
It also really helps when the idea they have is something that I am as well into.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It helps so much. Because otherwise it's just like a painful experience to just shit out this crappy crap for them to get them to go away. Like, if I'm super into the idea, it really shows.
Yep.
Yeah, you want to keep that muse quite happy.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure you're doing stuff that jives with both the commissioner and your own interests. And it is a collaboration between the two of you. Like, it's not just for the it's not just, you know, commissioner gives stuff to the artist and the artist just gives back their stuff. The two of you are trying to collaborate and create something together. So even if it is a specific idea, it's good to have some wiggle room, because part of what you're paying for with a commission is not just the artwork, but the artist's own expertise in how to compose a scene and how to pose the characters and how to get you what you want and make it look as good as possible.
Yeah. Absolutely.
This is why I really hate drawing Fuda, and I have so many people who want me to draw it, and I just don't like it at all. Like, it's just not my thing at all, whatsoever.
Well, that's the thing. Something for you listeners to keep in mind, those of you who enjoy commissioning artwork and stuff, it's definitely something to be said about playing to an artist's strengths. Mm-hmm. So if you see an artist that is really good at, you know, a specific fetish or certain shots that they do a lot, like butt shots or boobs or whatever, you know, if you think of a specific artist and you're like, oh yeah, that's the artist who draws blank really well, then it's probably a good idea, if you're going to commission them, to kind of play along those same lines. Now, that's not to say you can't push an artist's boundaries and let them, you know, branch out a little bit. That's fine. But especially if an artist says something like, I will not do blank ever, and you still try to commission something like that from them, that's probably not a great idea.
That's just going to start your relationship really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when in doubt, it never hurts to just ask, you know?
Absolutely.
Just send them a message and say, like, hey, I got this idea. Is this something that you'd be interested in, you know? And if they say they're not all that interested in it, or if they don't seem all that interested in it, you can just kind of be like, all right, okay, cool. We'll try something else then.
And don't get too disheartened about it, because just because a particular artist of your choice doesn't want to do something, I guarantee there is another artist out there, if not several dozen, that would be willing to do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, if a specific kink is your thing and one artist won't do it, then go seek out an artist who will.
Yep, there you go. The internet is a large and wild place. You will pretty find much whatever you want there if you just look long enough.
Orange, before we move on to the Q&A segment, is there anything else you want to plug? Do you want to give out the website to your Patreon? How do people get to you?
Oh man, like, wow, I wonder, my name's Delicious Orange. I typically make things really easy to find for folks, so my Patreon is patreon.com/deliciousorange.
All right, nice.
Go check him out, guys. Try and send him some support, send a couple bucks his way on the Pokini thing, and who knows, maybe he'll have some cool swimsuits.
Yeah, if that's something you're interested in, I would love to have you involved. Like, we've got a Discord server going that's got folks interacting and talking about what kind of designs they like and just kind of shooting the shit and enjoying, you know, fans who are similarly interested in sexy ladies.
Let's talk after AWA, and I'll see what I can do. Hopefully the project's still going by then. Okay, cool.
No, I hope so.
Just make sure it's not like a time thing where it's like, no, it ends in August, because then I'm screwed. Okay, cool.
No, it's ongoing. We're gonna keep this going for as long as we can keep folks interested.
All right, guys. That's gonna be it for the topic section. For you folks that are frequent listeners, you know that at the end of every segment we do kind of a Q&A thing where you guys send in questions, and then we pick a couple of the best ones and we kind of give our take on whatever the questions are. Before I dig into mine, Hizzy, did you have any that you've got backlogged, or did anybody send you in any today?
No, I think everyone sent them to you, and then that one that was tweeted by a Rotobot, which we have to answer. But I'm gonna
yeah, we'll save that one for last. How about that?
Ooh,
oh boy,
I'm eager to hear what this one is, especially since I know Hizzy, you responded to my most recent tweet by saying,
"No, don't you say it. Don't say it."
And you know that just tempts me to no end to want
tempts
to say
me
it right
too.
Now.
It tempts me in ways that I'm not happy to admit.
All right, well, here's a general one. General question from K. Dallas asking, do you feel your work has brought some degree of fulfillment, or is there always a greater goal to be accomplished? I'm going to go first with this one just because I kind of have something in mind. I don't think the two have to be exclusive. I think I can have fulfillment and have goals to be accomplished. I feel like that's kind of the point of being an artist, at least professionally. Things may be different for hobby artists, but do I feel some degree of fulfillment from doing art? Yes, absolutely. It's a skill that I've been developing over the last, like, 20 years. God, it's been 20 years. Anyway, sorry, that... I sure hell as hell
hello,
do.
Malflux.
Ugh.
Art.
You have to
changes.
Give yourself the old man voice now, Flux.
I've been developing it for the last 20 years. Anyway.
That's not the old man voice.
You're talking about
Flux's
this
old
one.
Man voice is apparently a radio announcer from the 20s.
Yeah, he's really old, dude.
Anyway, so.
And now old man Flux like coming around the bend with a 620 comes to 670 in from the side. Split.
Yanks.
He's coming right up to the end, and it's going to be a doozy of a finisher.
Coming up, it's Flux and his Untouchables are making their way downtown. Go see Mickey and his bandit gang. Stay tuned for partial excitement. Anyway, that was a big off topic. I've been working on.
So yeah, you've been cultivating
that.
Your skill for
many
years.
So I feel like I've definitely gotten better than when I started, because boy, that would suck if I hadn't. I feel good about that. I feel good that people in general seem to like what I do. I've gotten way farther as far as making this a career now than I ever thought possible. As far as, you know, I have a pay site now that people don't give me crap over, and that's nice. Patreon is working to a certain degree. That's also nice. But I also get to work with other artists, and I get to be part of the actual community itself and do collaborations and get connections as far as like working on other projects, whether it's actual just regular illustrations or game work or visual novel stuff, what have you. And I don't think those connections would be there if I hadn't made this my primary focus. So fulfillment, that's great. Is there always a greater goal to be accomplished? For me, yeah. There's always got to be something on the horizon. I'm always working towards something. I mean, at the moment right now, I've got one huge project in the background that I cannot divulge because of non-disclosure agreement stuff. But it's going to be pretty damn cool when it gets out there. I really can't say more. Sorry for being vague about that. It's going to be cool.
Stop teasing
anyway,
Flux.
Shut
what a tease.
Up. I've always got stuff on the back burner for the site because I have to, because weekly site updates. So can't ever stop. And then I've got stuff on the super back burner that kind of taking it day by day, seeing what happens. Working on stuff with Renezuo is for his game. Trying to hash out a plan for my own game, which will also be a visual novel. And then just trying to shimmy my way in there with other artists, like the thing that Orange just brought up, with maybe working with him later this year for the Pokini thing. So, yeah.
Visual novels are games.
Shut up.
There, I said it.
Shut up. Shut your mouth.
Visual novels can be games.
But they rarely are.
Whatevs. It's either a visual novel or a comic, and ain't nobody got time for a comic. So,
visual novel is a comic.
But it moves. And it's got bad voice acting.
Ooh, can I be a voice actor?
Yes! Do you even have to ask? Are you kidding me?
Sweet.
Flux, are you going to voice act all the characters?
Oh my god, you should!
As the cast of HomestarRunner.com. Hello!
Yes!
I am Nalaka. Welcome to my game. Anyway,
me and Orange can do voice acting and
we'll do the trust me, if I actually get this off the ground, Orange, I'm going to be poking you too for some kind of sexy man voice, because that's your bread and butter.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I wish.
You listen, Orange's voice is butter.
It's like butter, I tell you what.
It's like a warm cinnamon roll.
You're making me hungry.
Ooh.
I don't know if I'd say hungry.
Starts with an H, though. Hmm. So, when are you guys?
This
you're killing me here. Orange, let's go with you first. Same question. Do you feel your work has brought you some degree of fulfillment, and is there always a greater goal to be accomplished?
Every time I start a piece of artwork, I have a goal in mind that I'm trying to accomplish. Like, there's always something that I'm trying to strive for when I start. And once I finish, that is when that sense of satisfaction is. Once I've satisfied, mm-hmm. you know, the piece, that is when the satisfaction cool. comes in. So I feel like both of those events occur, but they happen at different sure. points in the process.
And then you obviously have long-term goals as well, as far as, I mean, you just illustrated with...
Yeah. There's always stuff that's like, I can't do this just yet, but I'm trying to break it down into parts, like steps, to try and get closer to it.
Hizzy, how about you?
You're not gonna like mine.
Well, shit.
Do I get any fulfillment out of this?
You have to get some.
Well, when it comes to things like, yeah, I'm a way better artist now than I ever would have been had I not done this. But as far as fulfillment from drawing porn anymore, I really don't anymore.
Just like,
it's
porn,
very rare.
Though.
The idea... Yeah, just porn for sure. Unless the idea is mine and I'm extremely passionate about it and I'm into it, like the Fallout thing that you mentioned yeah. earlier, Flux. It's usually just an assembly
line
job,
to me. Basically.
Yes, exactly. It's just a job, to be honest.
Well, that is...
It wasn't always, but a lot of people don't seem to realize that I've been doing this for 10 years straight with no vacation and no yeah. breaks.
And that is something to think about for aspiring artists out there who are considering making this your career, making this your full-time thing. There is something to be said about, yes, you're doing something that you love. It's something that you love right now. But when that becomes your job... And it's something that you do day in, day out. You have deadlines. This is how you make a living. Sometimes that leads...
It changes.
It no longer becomes like, oh, this is what I do when I want to have fun. This is what I want to do when I want to relax. Like, no, this is what I do to keep a roof over my head. So, yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's just difficult when you end up making your favorite thing that means the most to you in the world into your yeah. career. Not to say that it's not fucking amazing at first, because oh my god, you're getting paid to do what you love more than anything, but it kind of makes you love it a little bit less when you're forced to yep. do it.
It's as with most things, it's an interesting balance, and you have to find yeah. ways.
Yeah, I definitely think it's important to find a balance between the professional art that you do for other people, especially commission work and whatnot, with the personal work that you're doing to try and, you know, improve yourself and yes. to follow your own
that's
passions.
Where I that's probably a personal problem for me, because I don't have a good ability to balance both, because when I'm you know, nowadays when I get any energy to draw, I usually have to focus it on what I have to do. I can't waste that on doing something that I can't use as a side update, or that I can't put in towards someone's commission who's been waiting. Like, it's so rare that I get the energy anymore that I have to do it.
See,
for work,
I get mostly. What I refer to as art guilt, where when I'm
totally.
Working on something that's just for me and it's not for the pay site, it's not a commission, and it's not for Patreon, it's just for funsies, I'm like, oh, I shouldn't be working on this. I should be doing something that pays my bills.
Totally.
Yeah. That happens too. The way I've dealt with that is I've set up myself a schedule where I'm like, this is the time where I am going to be working on commissions and stuff that I owe other people and professional work and Patreon stuff. And these are the times where I am going to be doing stuff for me and to help
yeah.
me overall improve.
That worked
my
for
game.
Me for a while, but it doesn't work for
what,
me anymore.
What changed?
Well, I'll try and see how long I can keep this train rolling.
Oh, you know what? I'm sure it'll be fine. It had to do with earlier this year when I had like a mental collapse and everything changed, not just that. So I wouldn't worry too much, Orange.
Yeah, it's per person, you know.
Yeah. Because, yeah, it was working all right for me for a while.
All right.
As far as other goals, my biggest goal is to continue doing what I'm doing and working on the other side of Koopa, which doesn't involve me really drawing, and make that my full-time gig so the magic will come back.
And I think
drawing.
It will. I honestly do. Like, once you can make the administrative yeah. part of Koopa your day job, so to speak, then
yeah.
everything you draw at that point will just be something you want to do.
Hell yes. I am super excited.
I am excited
that.
To see...
Yeah, I think take the importance
yes.
of taking a
yes.
break. Once in a while is important, is very necessary.
Honestly, and
in art.
I know a lot of folks that are listening to this will agree with me. Hizzy, I look forward to the day that you can do a bunch more of your, how can I put it? I want to call it like street art style, but I don't know if that's the right terminology. But it's the stuff that you do in your sketchbook that it's so fucking like, it's almost like a graffiti style. And
yeah,
I can, I can tell. It looks really fucking cool. Guys that are listening, go tell her how cool it is. And if you haven't seen it, I believe there's some of it up on your Twitter buried somewhere.
Yeah, it's all buried.
Well, go check it out. If you have patience to go sift through Twitter, go check her Twitter out. But, all right, next question. We'll probably do one more after this, and that should be fine. We're coming up on an hour here. This one's coming from Cubist. This is actually kind of an older question that I never got around to. So, if you could work for any studio in their art department, what would it be?
Blizzard.
Vanillaware.
I don't remember.
Vanillaware. Oh. They did Dragon's Crown and Oberon Muramasa and the Odin Sphere.
Gorgeous.
All those sorts of games. I do not feel like I am worthy to work in that environment. I feel like I'm totally not capable of keeping up with them. But I would love to just be a fly on that wall and just absorb techniques.
I take mine back. I have to say Bethesda, specifically for the Fallout universe. Because, I mean, let's be honest.
Oh, yeah. I was actually kind of confused.
It's my favorite thing.
You would do terrible things. I know. To that universe.
No, I would love that. I love drawing dirty, broken, like post-apocalyptic shit. That is my favorite thing ever. Post-apocalyptic theme is my favorite theme, I think, of all time.
Yeah. It's a good one.
And no ulterior motives,
none,
I'm sure.
None.
I have the same sort of answer as Orange. I don't feel worthy of this ever, but I would...
Oh god, I don't either. I don't think any of us do.
I would love to work in the same studio that did Ori and the Blind Forest.
Oh,
it's so beautiful.
Oh, your art would look so... Yeah, you do really pretty stuff like that too. Like, I think you'd be good
at that. I don't think I'm as
that.
Pretty as their stuff, but I would love to learn, you know?
Well, I think you could be, though, if you really tried. That's what
I'd probably have to
that.
Become a furry artist, but hey, why not? Fuck it.
Well, maybe. I mean, Moon Studios,
is that the
they're doing
that did
some
that?
New stuff. So,
cool.
Yeah, Ori and the Blind Forest was produced by Moon Studios.
And they're doing a new one.
Or
Microsoft.
Something like, you know what I think your art would look good at,
They are working on a new game. They've talked about it at E3 this year. And I forget what it is.
It is Ori. It's the second Ori and the Blind Forest game.
But...
Yeah, it's an actual sequel, yeah.
Oh, is it the second chapter to it? Okay.
Hizzy, what did you say?
I was just gonna say that I think your stuff would look really good in a game like Bastion or something.
Yes!
Like that.
Oh my god! Thank you. Oh, they're
super
so good.
Giant games.
Hizzy, have you played
I'm
Transistor
hyped.
Yet?
You know, Pyre comes out later this month.
What is that?
Right, comes out at the end of this month.
Pyre. I don't know anything about game. Pyre.
It is basically fantasy NBA Jam. Yes. It is imagine Transistor and Bastion, only instead of being a RPG kind of, you know, action RPG kind of thing, now it is multiplayer NBA Jam, where you are a bunch of wizards who are attempting to purge the sins that have gotten you excommunicated from your orders. By engaging in these ritual ceremonies where you must take yourself and bring this magical spell into your opponent's pyre and douse yourself in the flame.
Nice.
So your entire job is to grab the magical basketball and run it into your opponent's basket to do a slam dunk of your body.
So in short, come on and slam, and welcome to the jam.
And welcome to the jam.
Hizzy, have you played Transistor yet?
Did you
give
that
to me? Yeah, I sent it to you during the Steam sale.
Okay, then no.
Do it.
Not yet.
It's...
Oh, yeah. Hizzy, if you haven't played Transistor, you're going to love it. It is all your kind of jam.
It's a visually stunning game.
That's
and it's not super long either. like, really, you can do new game, and it'll you can complete the game in probably about 3 to 5 hours.
Sweet.
And if you want to do, like, new game plus and get all the side stuff, it'll probably take you 2, maybe 3 playthroughs, and so it'll be about 10 to 15 hours to get everything
definitely
in the game.
Remind me to play that, yep. Then, Flux, because I'll forget.
It's a good one. I have not finished it. I need to go back and just start over, because it's been so long since I played it. I completely forgot how. But
yeah, it's worth just
honestly, my favorite part of the game is a feature they didn't even have to do, but it's the fact that you can hold down a button during any point while you're walking around, and your character, she's a singer, that's her background, she will start singing to whatever the soundtrack is doing at that moment in time, and it's such a small detail, but it's so cool.
It's even better, Flux. Have you tried doing that? There's certain areas in the game where if you do that,
shut up. Really?
Like she'll start singing, and other things in the environment will start reacting.
Oh, I gotta go
song.
Back and play it now. That sounds awesome.
Most notably, if you do it right when it first teaches you, like when the tutorial prompt comes up that says hold left button to start sing along. If you do it right there, that's in the auditorium, and if you do that, all these like phantom like people will show up in the seats and start like doing
that's
little
so
little
cool.
and stuff like that.
That's so cool.
Like they'll start reacting. It's like, ooh, there's all this is purely visual fluff, but it's so enthralling. Just
you said Supermassive, right? Supergiant, sorry, I get those two.
Supergiant is the name of the company.
They put out a bust statue of the main character from Transistor.
Yep. They also have a life-size version of the Transistor
that's
itself.
That's expensive.
Which I only saw at PAX once. It was a big, like, display thing, but it was all done in, like, clear acrylic so that it lit up correctly and all that
that's
jazz.
That's awesome.
So this giant glowing USB
sword. All right. We're going to move to the final question, then we're going to wrap this up. It's the question that Hizzy's been dreading. This is coming in from Erotabot. Now, Hizzy, you don't have to go crazy with
mine's,
it.
You guys go first. Right. You guys go first.
No, you have to answer. We have to answer.
Okay, but you do it first,
right,
at
we,
least
we,
you
we,
do
we,
it first.
So, get buckled up.
I don't
up.
Even know what the question
so,
is.
So, this is coming from Erotabot. Hey, buddy. Oh, yeah. we're getting to him next recording session. But, Erotabot asks, what is the weirdest / most bizarre thing you have ever fapped to? I know I will go first because I know without a shadow of a doubt what it is for me.
Oh, yeah.
I know
what you need to think about.
But,
this
question, so right. I don't know how to describe this except for the phrase possession porn. Possession porn. And I don't mean anime. This is, yes,
say, can you,
this
can you,
is
like,
it's a live action thing I that. Stumbled across while I was looking for other things. And it was literally, it was Japanese, of course. It was literally a bunch of women in a room who were shrieking and their eyes were rolled back in their heads and they were shrieking and barking and like they were possessed by the fucking devil. It was like an exorcism, but with sex. And I was like,
sexorcism.
It was, damn you! Ah! I would fist
every time.
I would fist bump you right now if I could. Yeah, it was that, and I was like, I don't know how to feel about this, but my dick knows how to feel about it, so.
Awkward boner.
I'm just gonna go for this, and I.
It's like that reaction image where the guy just looks down at his crotch and he's like, "What, boner?"
Yeah.
To which the boner responds,
it is the
Shut
weirdest
up.
Fucking thing. And I mean, I've seen pterodactyl porn, and that was weird enough, but this trumps that.
The question is,
I did not. It was way too funny.
Porn. Okay, see, that's yeah. going too far. So that's too weird.
But yeah, I've never seen it since. And I tried to show somebody. I was like, no, look up possession porn. Like, they couldn't find it. I couldn't find it again. So I was like, did I dream that? But yeah. Possession porn. Go check it out, kids. Orange, what you got?
Let's see. See, when you first mentioned that question, I had a totally different impression of what it meant. Because when I was thinking about, like, what, like, my tastes are, and part of that is I feel like my tastes are totally normal and would not be weird at all. But that's probably just from my own perspective, you know, and the fact that I'm probably a horrible degenerate who has completely normalized their own existence. So it's tough to get a feel for what would be like the strangest thing. The thing that I think was the most surprising thing I'd never expected was one particular session that stands out when I discovered that that ear licking was really really fantastic, and I did not expect this. I, in all of my years of making out with girlfriends, I'd never thought about that at all.
What?
And then suddenly, one time, she just tried it out, and I was just like, wow, that did it.
And boom goes the dynamite.
I did not need to do anything else. That just was fantastic.
I've never thought about that either, now that you mention it.
I'd never thought about that, and I was just, okay, I have new fetish. There we go.
There's got to be a subreddit for this.
That's the weirdest and most surprising thing. It surprised me at the time.
Yeah, but I think that's something better experienced in the flesh rather than watching it happen like in a
Undoubtedly.
Porn.
Yeah, but then again, having experienced it, I think if I saw it in like a show, it would bring back.
Because you're familiar with the sensation.
To fap to that. I'm trying to think of any of the weird, now that you were talking about that, the Exorcist thing, I'm trying to think of what the weirdest, like, porn thing I've ever
It doesn't have to be porn.
You don't even have to have fapped to it, I don't think. I mean, something that you maybe found arousing that you didn't think you would. We could go that far with it, I think.
I think there was one thing that was, the one thing that comes to mind that I think is probably one of the weirder things I've ever seen is there was one that was about this detachable penis.
Okay.
That was the plot line was apparently some sort of weird magical spell caused this kid to have his dick fall off, but of course the dick still worked.
Okay.
Like it still worked.
Could he feel what was happening to it?
He could feel what was going on with it and stuff, and so and it gets into the possession of some horny young women who decide to make use of it, and that was got to be one of the weirdest, craziest like stories. It was incredibly well done, and it was full of comedy and fapability.
This is anime, I assume.
I gotta see if I can try and remember it. It was a doujinshi. Yeah. In terms of the weirdness of the plot line and just the premise of it, it was like, oh, kid loses his dick and sexy times happen.
That's thinking with portals.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
All right, Hizzy.
Nice.
You're up.
Mine's not even porn.
That's okay.
Ooh.
That makes it dirtier.
All right. It's not always, and it depends on the... Honestly, I don't think it's any secret, but I don't know if I've really ever advertised it, but I have a really big thing for, like, hands.
Yeah, yeah, you've told me that before.
Yeah, I can see that.
So
what set of hands
like,
really
yeah, like spidery, yaoi hands?
I like all kind of hands, but yeah, spidery, manly, very vascular hands. I love them nice and veiny, dirty hands, clean hands. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, if they're beautiful hands to me, I'm feeling
That's
it.
Cool.
And so...
he just wants those hands.
I know, it's so weird. And you know, some people like feet.
I was
like
going to say, if people can have foot fetishes, why not hand fetishes?
Yeah, anyways.
That's a good point.
I found this YouTube video some year or two ago. I don't remember now, but... it was of this guy contact juggling.
What? What is that?
Yeah, I haven't
like the David Bowie like.
Oh,
yes, exactly.
Okay.
So this video was like really well made, and the music was just perfect, and the guy's hands were really just skinny and bony, and I was like, I actually fapped to it.
Damn.
I fapped. I'm not gonna lie. I think that's the weirdest thing I've ever fapped to. But I don't know, is it that weird? I guess it's weird to fap to
it. It's not conventional, but I get it.
It's definitely fetish territory, like legit, like psychological fetish territory.
Yeah.
In that you were sexualizing something that is innately not sexual.
Yeah.
But I can certainly see where that could, with the right scenario, that could totally trip your triggers.
It gets me every time.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Really nice hands doing hand stuff.
That is not at all.
It doesn't have to be sexual hand stuff either. Usually when it's sexual hand stuff, I'm not as into it. It has to be like things that normally wouldn't be sexual. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is...
Yeah, it's got to be focused more on the hands and not some other activity that they're doing.
Yeah, like watching
it's got to be all about those hands.
Yeah, watching someone's hands doing a task or playing an instrument or something, you know. And I'm not going to be got all creepy about it, but it is nice to look at.
I get it.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, that's probably my weirdest.
So
that is not at all what I thought you were going to say.
Share with us what your weirdest fap is.
Yeah, I don't know if we want to know that one, dude.
Herodobot's like, oh, I got this locked and loaded. Here we go. Oh, God, he might tell us next time we record. Oh, no.
We're going to make him. That's going to be his punishment for making us answer that. He's gonna answer it.
I like it. Get ready, Herodobot. We're coming for you.
And he's going to come for us.
Oh, this guy. All right. Well. I think that about does it. Thank you guys for joining us. Thank you, Delicious Orange, for joining Hazy and I.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And as always, guys, check out the rest of our episodes if you haven't of Pillow Fort Pub. It's up on my site. It's up on Hizzy's site. They're not up on Ren's site, are they?
I don't think that they are. We need to get these up somewhere else, though, for people, like YouTube or something.
Sure. We'll talk about it. I don't know how that works with a podcast, but too. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. Anyways, my site, Flux's site.
And we post links to them on Twitter and stuff too. So there you go. Alright guys, have a good one. Thanks for joining us and we'll see you next time. Bye bye.
See ya.